cancer, a threat to your life, or a chance to take control of your future? That choice is yours. Over the years, Drs. Gerald and Monica Lewis have developed a special interest in helping people who have developed cancer. They both graduated from Otago Medical School, New Zealand in 1968, and after a few years of practice, both came to realize the limitations of conventional medical treatments, surgery, drugs, and radiotherapy, and so have introduced many complementary treatments into their practice. Monica is a general practitioner who has specialized in counseling and helping people with more complex conditions where conventional health services have little more to offer. She has included nutritional medicine, the use of bioidentical hormones, and mind-body medicine into her routine medical therapies. Gerald finished his postgraduate training in the United Kingdom, where he specialized in general medicine and cardiology. He was awarded his doctorate of medicine, and for discoveries he made in the treatment of high blood pressure, he has been cited in both Who's Who in the World and Who's Who in Medicine. As part of his medical practice, he has been treating patients with cancer for most of his career, but in the last few years, working at the Centre for Advanced Medicine in Auckland, his interest in cancer has deepened. This is especially so when treating patients where their medical advisors feel that they have reached the end of the line with conventional treatments. The shattering news that a person has cancer often causes numbness and shock, incomprehension, fear, and a feeling of impotence. This stress can cause a number of chemical and hormonal changes within the body, rendering any logical thought and decision-making difficult. The amount of information available from any sources, well-meaning friends, books, the internet, health professionals, and alternative practitioners, is usually overwhelming and may also be conflicting. The number of treatments available is overwhelming. Do they work? Could they cause harm? Do they interfere with conventional treatment? All this needs to be weighed up before making a decision on what treatment to try. In this book, we will discuss most of the treatments that can be used, both conventional and complementary. We will endeavour to separate the fads and fiction from the proven facts and hope to provide a balanced overview. By bringing together most of the therapies available, we aim to enable a person with cancer to plan a therapy pathway with some understanding and confidence. Up to 90% of people diagnosed with cancer consider using complementary therapies, and three-quarters do not tell their doctor what they are doing. In this book, we want to show the value and usefulness of both conventional and complementary treatments. Armed with this information, we would encourage you to discuss all forms of treatment with all your health providers. Cancer can be beaten. Many people, when told they have cancer, believe that this is a death sentence. But with modern treatments, this is now far from reality. Be aware of these facts. People have been cured from every type of cancer. Cancer is the most curable of all chronic diseases. Yes, this is true. In the USA alone, there are 8 million people living with cancer, and 3 million of these are considered cured. The long-term survival rate for people with cancer is far better than most people realize. For all cancers, the 20-year survival rate is over 50%, and it is higher in thyroid and testes, which is 90%, melanoma and prostate, 80%, bladder and Hodgkin's, 70%, breast cancer, 65%, and cervix, 60%. More than half of all people with bowel, rectal, ovarian, and kidney cancer live for more than 20 years. With the volume of research being done worldwide, we are confident that within 20 years we will almost certainly have beaten cancer in the same way that previous generations have beaten bacterial and viral infections. It's essential to feel positive towards your body and your health because with cancer, more than with any other disease, our attitude of mind towards the illness and the strength of our resolve to recover is in most cases more important than any other treatment. What is cancer? Our bodies are made up of trillions of cells, each with a limited life, from days to months. Throughout our life, these cells wear out and are replaced with new cells. Sometimes the new cells are imperfect. The immune system recognizes these and destroys them, just as it does with invading viruses and bacteria. Cancer develops when cell duplication goes wrong, and for some reason the immune system does not destroy the abnormal cells. These abnormal cancer cells slip through the defense system, grow into a new clump of cells, and then start multiplying out of control. In today's toxic world, we all develop these abnormal cells from time to time, but the immune system is able to function correctly and destroy them before they proceed on to multiply. Initially, the cancer cells grow where they first occurred, but sometimes small clumps can break off and travel in the blood or lymph to other parts of the body and start growing there. These are called metastases or cancer secondaries. So it seems obvious, the most important way to prevent, arrest, and treat cancer is to support the body's immune system. Remember that the immune system is designed to destroy foreign or different cells, like viruses and bacteria, and it also considers cancer cells to be abnormal and tries its utmost to destroy them as well. However, the immune system can become overwhelmed by the number of cancer cells. Many of the treatments we discuss aim to strengthen our immunity in addition to damaging the cancer cells. Because our immune system is so powerful, cancer should never be considered incurable. As we have stated above, individuals with every type of cancer have been cured. The effects of cancer. As the result of the growth of the cancer cells, a number of things can occur. They invade vital organs and damage them. This accounts for only about 1/4 of the deaths from cancer. The release of toxins and chemicals from the growing and dying cancer cells can poison the body and affect the function of the liver, kidney, or other organs. Suppressed immunity can lead to severe infections such as pneumonia, which can be fatal. Weight loss and debilitation. As the cancer cells grow, they consume most of the body's energy and nutrients. Starvation and depletion of essential nutrients suppresses the immune system, causes weight loss and exhaustion, and is the cause of almost half of all cancer deaths. Very rarely, the cancer cells can secrete hormones or other products which can cause unusual symptoms. Cancer causes emotional, mental, and spiritual problems, anger and frustration, unresolved problems from the past, uncertainty about the meaning of life, and what happens after death. Most people have these and other feelings. People are much healthier when these are openly discussed rather than being bottled up inside. The relationship with family and friends can also become strained. Conversely, it can become a time of real closeness within the family. Chapter 1. A positive and confident attitude towards your illness. Your health advisors. Your overall treatment plan should be discussed with your main health professional, who may be your GP, oncologist, or another health practitioner, who should be like the conductor of an orchestra, coordinating your treatment, referring you to other specialists as necessary. Make sure he or she is a person you can relate to, who will listen to your opinions and will allow you to have some input into your treatment. Remember that this is your journey and you are ultimately the decision maker. If you're unhappy or confused, ask for a second opinion. Write down all your questions, perhaps take a partner or a friend with you, take notes and clarify all the questions. Buy a beautiful notebook in which to write all ideas and suggestions, especially the positive ones. Find out all the treatment options, their possibility of success, likely side effects, and adverse effects. It is your right to know about these so you can weigh up your options. In the past, people accepted treatment and often did not ask about side effects. This knowledge is most important and can affect your decision as to whether to proceed with a treatment. If the option you are offered is a major procedure, major surgery, radiotherapy, chemotherapy, if there is a doubt in your mind, ask if you can have a second opinion, just to give you the unreserved conviction that the treatment you are being offered is the best one for you. Ask if the treatment will improve the quality or the length of your life. Note, this does not just apply to conventional medical treatment. If there is some risk or expense involved in a complementary therapy, also get a second opinion, but make sure that the person you ask has a complete understanding of the procedure. Listen to your oncologist or radiotherapist very carefully. These people are extremely dedicated doctors practicing in what is possibly the most difficult field in medicine. In addition to their years at medical school, they have spent many more years undertaking postgraduate training. These people are genuine specialists, spelt with a capital S. Because their training in complementary therapies is limited, like that of most doctors, their understanding of these therapies may be a bit rudimentary. However, their understanding of your cancer and their knowledge of the best and latest therapies using conventional medicine far exceed the information available to any other practitioners. They read the latest journals, attend seminars and conferences. Do not ignore this advice. In most countries, the information overload, financial restrictions, and clinical caseload placed upon these devoted people makes life very difficult. In addition, the personal burden of looking after seriously sick patients, some of whom die, can be utterly draining. For this reason, some attempt to cope by retaining a so-called clinical detachment, which at times may make them appear a little uncaring. Have no fear. These people care a great deal, and they suffer hugely when they lose patients whom in many cases have become personal friends. They need your support almost as much as you require theirs. Your attitude and your lifestyle. In most books that discuss how a person can beneficially affect their disease, the most important chapters usually discuss mind-body medicine. In the Western world, we have forgotten just how much our thoughts, fears, and attitudes affect the rest of our body. The Aboriginal bone-pointing ceremony shows how powerful the mind can be in a destructive way. Equally, a positive, optimistic, happy attitude can make a huge difference. Those who saw Robin Williams in the Patch Adams movie saw how important caring, happiness, and laughter were in helping people to cope with their current situation, and also how it helped their well-being and recovery. We encourage you to read some of the many books available. Your mental attitude is probably the most important treatment modality of all. A positive attitude and confidence in your health team, believing that you will recover, is almost essential for a complete healing. There are many important techniques which can help you achieve this. Meditation, which is emptying the mind and creating inner peace, is often tremendously helpful. Most non-Western countries practice this and realize its value. Meditation provides an inner peace and strength and will boost your conviction that you will recover. Read about meditation and attend workshops which are available everywhere. Imagery. For many people, this may seem weird, but it really does work. In a meditative state, focus on the immune cells and imagine them moving in like a small army and destroying the cancer cells. Strange though it sounds, it is effective, and not just with cancer. Dr. Dean Ornish is an American cardiologist and uses imagery in heart patients to open up their arteries. There are many things we don't understand about our minds. Some things we just have to take on trust, and this is one of them. Imagery and affirmations link our bodies to the power which created us. Spiritual awareness and growth are also very important. Whether we acknowledge it or not, we have a dimension as human beings that sets us apart from the animal world. We are a very complex interaction of body, mind, and spirit. We may not be aware of the power of our mind, and we often only find out the power of the spirit in moments of adversity. Almost all cultures acknowledge some greater spiritual force, even though it may be expressed in differing ways. Once people realize that their health and well-being is in danger, the importance of the spiritual awareness comes into focus. When one becomes ill, it is important to nurture the spiritual side of our existence. This concept is far broader than any one religion. It is linking into the power which created us, with the whole energy of the world, and we can gain strength from it. Be positive. Remember, we become and move towards what we focus on. Therefore, thinking constantly about cancer, illness, and the possibility of dying pulls us down. Think of power and beauty, abundant health and strength, life and love, and your mind will move your body in this direction. Ignore any negative comments from people who should know better. Some people talk about their bad experiences or criticize conventional or complementary treatments without really knowing about them. Sadly, many doctors do this about vitamins, meditation, and other complementary treatments because they feel that their treatment is the only thing which matters. It is important to realize that often their criticisms are made in ignorance with the attitude of, if I don't understand it, then it can't work. If it is doing no harm and the patient believes it, why knock it? A request to all those talking to people with cancer, never, we repeat, never criticize or make someone lose faith in a therapy provided it is doing no harm. In ways we do not understand, a healthy, positive mind strengthens the immune system, and any criticism or attempts to make the patient lose confidence in a therapy could do them positive harm. Forgiveness. Always practice forgiveness. Do not hold grudges or negative feelings towards others. The only person that this is hurting is you. Look at the grievances of the past. Study them. Forgive the perpetrators, either physically or in your mind, and put the whole experience behind you. This can be a very healing process, because the negative feelings caused by these stresses can actually impair the immune system. Laughter. People feel better when they laugh because the metabolism is increased and euphoric neurochemicals enter the blood. Laughter has been shown to boost the immune system. It lowers cortisol, which enables interleukin-2 and other immune boosters to express themselves. After a session of genuine belly laughing, like watching funny movies, Rowan Atkinson, or The Goons, pain can be effectively reduced for many hours. Make your own endorphins. Become your own drug factory. Endorphins are morphine-like hormones created by our bodies to help cope with stress, endure pain, and make us feel happy. Long-distance runners create endorphins, which enables them to cope better with pain. Any person in distress can also increase their own pain-relieving hormones, which can reduce pain, discomfort, and depression. Exercise and lifestyle. Cancer generates feelings of weakness and low energy. Walking, especially along a beach or amongst beautiful trees, lifts the spirits and boosts vitality. Being amid beauty and experiencing the sun, wind, and even rain provides a positive spiritual uplift. Search out inspiring and moving music, movies and DVDs, books and friends. Go out and do things you enjoy, things you've always dreamed of doing, and arrange to have a regular massage. Chapter 2, Detoxifying and Cleansing the Body. Does your body contain toxic levels of heavy metals and other poisons? In today's world, it is almost impossible to avoid fumes, pollution, and poisons in air and food. These weaken the body, especially the immune system, and if they are present in high amounts, then it seems logical to consider their removal. There are some techniques which claim to identify the level of toxins by magnet, electrical, and other measurements. Because their mechanism of action is hard to understand within conventional medical thinking, these and really cannot comment on their accuracy. Probably the most reliable method is to measure the level of toxins found in the hair, blood, or urine. One of the few ways that the body can rid itself of many toxins is through the hair, so the level of heavy metals and other metals. Cleansing and detoxification. Cancer is a toxic disease. The tumor cells often outgrow their blood supply and die. These cells also break down for many other reasons and release toxins into the body, causing malaise. Sometimes they can create a noticeable smell. Toxins can also affect healthy body cells and impair their functions. Thus, removing toxins is an important add-on to therapy. Drinking plenty of pure, filtered, or clean water. This enables the body to flush more of the toxins out through the kidneys. Dehydration concentrates the toxins and makes people feel unwell. Everyone should drink at least 8 glasses of water daily, in addition, as Trying to rid the body of toxic chemicals and materials is pointless if one continues to eat polluted food which contains toxins, pesticides, fungicides, sprays, heavy metals, and poisons. Wash and soak unprocessed food in pure water containing a few drops of ascorbic acid. Eat organic, raw, and unprocessed food as much as possible. Increase your intake of fruit and vegetables, especially sprouted seeds, cruciferous vegetables, and nuts. Burning and overcooking, especially using hot oils or barbecuing, has been shown to increase cancer-inducing chemicals in our food. Eat plenty of fiber in the diet. Because cancer patients often have a poor appetite, this can sometimes be challenging. Fiber is found in fruits and vegetables. There are two types of fiber. The first, soluble fiber, which absorbs toxins and carries them out of the body through the bowel. And insoluble fiber, which simply keeps the bowels moving, reducing the time toxic matter stays in the bowel where it could be reabsorbed. There are some very good plant fiber drinks which many people prefer taking instead of eating mountains of vegetables and fruits. Colonics. One major way to eliminate toxins is through the bowel. Cancer patients should keep their bowels moving regularly with bulking agents and especially with fiber. Avoid constipation. Colonic irrigations are probably the most effective way of removing garbage from the body. Correctly performed, they are comfortable and leave you feeling healthier and cleansed. Enemas can also be used, though they tend to be more exhausting, but they can be done at home. Detox in a sauna. Increasing the temperature of the body does not damage the body's normal healthy cells, but it does weaken cancer cells. Sweating and regularly wiping the skin eliminates many toxins. Far infrared saunas are the cheapest and the best for treating cancer. Unlike conventional saunas, which heat the entire room, the far infrared models use an infrared light at the far end of the infrared spectrum. The heating is less, so the heat energy penetrates deeper into the tissues. Liver cleansing. The liver is the largest organ in the body, with 1.5 liters of blood passing through it per minute. A healthy liver keeps the body clean, protects the immune system from overload, improves metabolism, and helps control body weight. Liver cleansing reduces the workload for the liver, enabling it to clear the blood more efficiently and boost immunity. There have been a number of books written on a liver cleansing diet, which is also beneficial for cancer treatment. Removing heavy metals. If the body has a significant load of heavy metals such as lead, aluminium, arsenic, cadmium, iron, nickel, or mercury, then it might be beneficial to remove these. Intravenous EDTA chelation, or a combination of DMSA, vitamin C, lipoic acid, and chlorella, can remove heavy metals. These heavy metals impair cell function, and if there is a history of significant exposure or a hair analysis suggests that there is a high metal load, then perhaps removal should be considered. Chapter 3. Making the body an inhospitable host for cancer. In a number of ways, cancer cells are different from normal body cells, and in most ways, they are much simpler and more primitive. They grow faster, they have fewer specialized enzymes, they metabolize or convert food into energy differently. By understanding these differences, the cancer cells can be selectively damaged or their growth slowed without affecting the other normal cells of the body. Because cancer cells grow very fast, they outgrow their blood supply. Blood provides all the cells with oxygen and energy, sugars and fats, and takes away the waste. To overcome this problem, some cancer cells secrete hormones which encourage the growth of new blood vessels. This process is called angiogenesis. Because cancer cells need to survive with a poor blood supply, they have changed the way they make energy. They create energy without oxygen. This can only happen using sugars, not fats or proteins. They ferment the sugars, similar to fermenting a wine. Because sugars are the only source of energy for cancer cells, they avidly take it up. Cancer cells also encourage the liver to break down proteins into sugars. This is one of the reasons why many people with advanced cancer lose so much weight. Fermentation works best in an acid environment, so cancer cells like the tissues to be acidic, not alkaline. Therefore, we fight cancer by providing the opposite conditions. Plenty of oxygen, as little glucose as possible. Keep the tissues alkaline. Give the body plenty of oxygen. Cancer cells prefer to live with less oxygen. This is why a number of treatments which provide more oxygen may help cancer patients. Breathing. We all know we need to breathe to live, yet most of us do not breathe correctly. We do not fully open our lungs. Learn diaphragmatic breathing by initially keeping the chest still and breathe in by blowing out the stomach, tummy breathing. Sometimes take a double breath. Breathe in as deeply as you can and then try and take another breath on top of this. The more oxygen taken in, the better our healthy cells feel and the weaker the cancer cells become. Fresh outdoor air contains more oxygen than indoor air. Smoking is an obvious oxygen drain, both direct and secondhand smoke. There are a number of specific breathing exercises and programs which may help further. Consider walking along the beach, or by a river, or amongst trees. Exercise on a bicycle or treadmill while inhaling oxygen through a mask. EWOT, exercise with oxygen therapy. This creates high levels of oxygen all over the body. Hyperbaric oxygen chamber. In a hyperbaric chamber, the very high pressure forces oxygen deeper into the tissues at higher concentrations. Avoid peaks in the blood glucose. Cancer cells can only use sugar for energy. Without oxygen, they use sugars, this very inefficiently. This means that the cancer cell needs a lot of glucose to survive and to multiply. Make sure you understand this concept. Soft drinks, sweets, cakes, and biscuits are killers we do well to avoid. Keeping the blood glucose levels low can starve the cancer cells of energy. This does not mean you shouldn't eat carbohydrates, because our healthy cells need these, especially the brain, but avoid high peaks of glucose in the blood by eating low glycemic carbohydrates. It is the high peaks which make the glucose more available to the cancer cells. Alkaline pH. To improve fermentation, cancer cells create an acid medium around themselves. Eating alkaline foods has been suggested as a way to neutralize this acidity and so make it less comfortable for the cancer cells. Eating foods which have an alkalizing action and avoiding acidic foods may be beneficial and can do no harm. Because the blood contains buffers, the blood will nearly always test at a neutral 7.4, but this does not necessarily reflect pH in the tissues. Many people suggest testing the saliva or urine as a better indication for the acid-alkaline state. One easy way to regularly alkalinize the body is to squeeze fresh lemon juice into drinking water. For example, start the day with a warm lemon drink, reducing the ability of the cancer cells to spread. All the body cells are held together by fibers made of collagen. For cancer to expand and spread between cells, it must break down these collagen barriers. Some cancer cells produce a number of digestive enzymes to do this. Some nutrients are powerful inhibitors of these digestive enzymes. Vitamin C is essential for the body to create collagen. In scurvy, caused by lack of vitamin C, the collagen weakens and the cell falls apart. Taking high-dose vitamin C can help the body to repair and replace the collagen, thus strengthening the barrier, which may slow down the spread of the cancer cells. Chapter 4. Strengthen the body and its immune cells. Just as a car will not work without petrol, air, water, and oil, our bodies require a number of nutrients to function properly. Cells stealing many of the essential nutrients and polluting the body with poisons and toxins, our normal cells, including our immune system, need all the help they can get to fight these invaders. For people with cancer, good nutrition is absolutely crucial. Undernourishment can have devastating consequences as well as causing weakness and lethargy. Almost 40% of cancer patients die from malnutrition, not from the cancer. Poor nutrition is caused by a number of factors. The cancer cells guzzle nutrients faster than other tissues. Some cancer cells secrete a hormone called cachexin, which suppresses the appetite. Poor appetite and nausea can be side effects from radiotherapy and chemotherapy, and toxins created by cancer reduce the appetite. The answer? Eat as well as you can. It's often worth having regular nutrient shakes and protein powders. There are some very good nutrient drinks available, which incorporate low glycemic sugars, good fats, proteins, and fiber. Such improved nutrition can make a big difference in well-being and long-term outlook for someone with cancer. Diet. An excellent diet can have three roles: to provide all the nutrients the body needs to function perfectly, some foods actually damage cancer cells, and a good diet can boost the immune system. There are many foods and herbs which have been claimed to attack cancer cells or strengthen the immune system. There is much debate around these, however, there is no debate that a good healthy diet is very important. What should be in a healthy diet? Eat plenty of many different fresh fruits and vegetables, picked only when ripe, which is when all the vitamins are present. Preferably organic and free of toxins and sprays. Eat in Technicolor. Avoid eating too much meat or saturated fats, and avoid processed foods. Eat saltwater fish regularly to provide good quality protein and essential fats. Avoid sugar and other high glycemic carbohydrates, coffee, and alcohol. To retain their goodness, most foods are best undercooked or eaten raw. Freshly prepared sprouts are full of nutrients. Many people with cancer find it easier to grow their own. The cruciferous vegetables are full of antioxidants, isothiocyanates, and also indole-3 carbinol, which have a detrimental effect on cancer cells. An ideal diet is almost totally vegetarian, with the addition of good fish. Using organic foods will reduce the toxic burden the immune system has to cope with. Remember, many vegetables have anti-cancer actions, most of which we have not identified or understood. Nutritional supplements. We believe nutritional supplements are essential for everybody, and even more so for those with cancer. It doesn't take an Einstein to realize that many, if not most, cancer patients have difficulty in providing their cells and immune system with all the nutrients they require. This is because of the poor quality of today's food, which is grown in deficient soils, picked early before the vitamins are set, and then processed. All of these deplete nutrients from our food. Many cancer patients have poor appetites because of their illness or the drugs they take. The dividing cancer cells consume many of the nutrients destined for other parts of the body. And the body uses up many nutrients as it attempts to neutralize the toxins released by cancer cells. Thus, a person with cancer requires a much higher level of essential nutrients than someone without the disease. It is virtually impossible to achieve this with today's food, hence our very strong belief in the added value of good quality supplements, which can make up the shortfall. Starvation of the cells is very common in people with advanced cancer, and the benefits of providing the cells of the body with an optimal supply of all the nutrients, vitamins, and minerals they need seems just so obvious. Many medical professionals do not encourage their cancer patients to take supplements. It may be hard to understand why. It is probably because of their previous experience, or the experience of their tutors, that using the poor quality supplements of the past seem to provide very little benefit. However, today there are a number of excellent supplements that are made to the same quality as pharmaceutical drugs and that contain optimum levels of those nutrients required by normal cells to function as well as they can. Using such high-quality pharmaceutical-grade supplements can greatly help a person suffering from cancer. Many cancer patients take huge quantities of herbs and supplements. We do not feel that there is much benefit in going beyond an ideal level of the nutrients required to keep the cells healthy. Because the nutrients are being soaked up for the reasons described at the beginning of this chapter, possibly a higher dose than a healthy person would require may be appropriate. Note that we are talking about the optimal levels of these nutrients, not just the RDA, or the recommended daily allowance. The RDA is the dose required to prevent deficiency diseases such as scurvy and rickets, not the dose which makes the cells function to their highest capacity. Because there are many helpful and unrecognized ingredients in fruit and vegetables, we recommend people eat as well as they can and take a good supplement. Their bodies can help themselves to any nutrient required, and if there is a surfeit with a good supplement, it can be easily excreted. We strongly recommend that everyone with any form of cancer should take a good preparation of the following supplements: multivitamin, multimineral tablets. A comprehensive good quality multivitamin and multimineral supplement will make sure that all the essential nutrients are ingested. This is the foundation. A good multi-tablet should contain, among many other nutrients, vitamin E, beta-carotene, vitamin D, folic acid, vitamin C, and selenium. There are many reasons why these are so important. Vitamin E has been shown to reduce breast cancer and prostate cancer. Vitamin C. Cancer patients are nearly always depleted of vitamin C, which, because it is like a sugar, is avidly taken up by cancer cells. A regular intake of vitamin C has a number of beneficial actions. Most people experience a major improvement in quality of life, with an increased sense of well-being and improved appetite. It neutralizes carcinogenic nitrites from our diet and from the air. It reduces inflammation and so can help in relieving some of the inflammatory pain caused by cancer cells. It boosts the immune system, helping it to attack and kill the cancer cells more effectively. It may reduce the spread of cancer. Cancer cells spread between normal cells by breaking down the fibrous collagen which holds our cells together. Vitamin C is essential to replace this collagen and so may make it harder for the cancer to spread. Vitamin C, given intravenously in high doses, can selectively damage cancer cells and act almost like chemotherapy. Vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin. Vitamin D is a hormone-like vitamin and may reduce breast cancer through an anti-estrogenic action. When the skin is exposed to sunlight, it makes vitamin D. This can reduce the incidence of breast cancer by 30 to 40%. Vitamin D also seems to be protective against cancer in men. Men with higher levels of vitamin D are half as likely to develop aggressive forms of prostate cancer compared with men with lower levels. Folic acid. Low levels in the blood are associated with an increased incidence of breast, cervical, brain, lung, and colon cancer. In the USA Nurses study, colon cancer was reduced by a massive 75% in those taking multivitamins containing folic acid for longer than 15 years. Selenium is essential if you live in New Zealand, parts of China, and some areas in the United States of America. In these areas, the soil is very low in this mineral. Selenium has been shown to reduce the risk of cancer in China. In a study performed in Arizona, selenium supplements halved the number of deaths from many cancers. Selenium boosts the immune system, is essential for the formation of glutathione and other very important enzymes. Selenium can also provide some protection from the dangerous heavy metals, mercury, cadmium, and arsenic, which are stored in the body. Magnesium. Many people benefit from additional magnesium, 500 milligrams per day. It usually comes with calcium, but check first with your doctor that the cancer has not caused high calcium levels. Magnesium can help with relaxation, reduce cramps, and improve sleep. Omega-3 fish oils. 1 gram daily will provide plenty of the essential fats necessary for healthy cell and immune function. Some studies have also shown that the spread of prostate and liver cancer may be slowed with omega-3 fish oils. Note that fish and fish oils in most parts of the world are contaminated with mercury, so taking high doses can be a two-edged sword. Fortunately, pharmaceutical-grade fish oils are mercury-free, another reason to use only quality supplements. Juicing. Juicing fresh fruits and vegetables has become fashionable in many areas of the world. The benefits of juicing for people with cancer seem to be well established. In addition to the known vitamins and minerals, fruits and vegetables contain many chemicals which are beneficial in preventing and treating cancer. These plant chemicals are called phytochemicals, and many drug firms are attempting to identify the useful ones from a myriad of compounds available to make new drugs. Fresh produce also contains enzymes which are essential catalysts, enabling many thousands of chemical reactions to occur within the body. Heating will destroy these enzymes. This is why low-speed juicing is best, because it preserves those beneficial chemicals. As an example, the enzyme trypsin can break down the protective protein coating which forms around malignant tissue and may make the cancer cells more susceptible to the immune defense system. The high fiber and water content in juice helps flush out toxins. And correct juicing seems a very sensible practice. Do that one again. And correct juicing does seem a very sensible practice. To get the best out of juicing, it is important to use fresh and organic produce and to use a low-speed juicer, because it does not reach high temperatures, which could damage the contents of the resulting juice. Green tea. In addition to good juice, possibly the best beverage to drink is green tea, at least 2 to 3 cups per day. In addition to being a refreshing and invigorating brew, green tea has many proven actions. It blocks enzymes called matrix metalloproteinases, created by the cancer cells to help them dissolve collagen. Blocking these enzymes may reduce the cancer cells spreading. It encourages natural cancer cell death. It penetrates the blood-brain barrier, so can help in the treatment of people with brain cancer. It has been shown to help in the treatment of medulloblastoma, chronic lymphatic leukemia, skin cancer, and prostate cancer. Breast cancer patients in Japan who drank green tea had longer survival times. To strengthen the body and the immune system, we need to look after our body and mind. Some ways of doing these include: get regular and plentiful sleep. Taking melatonin at night can frequently help. Melatonin has additional useful properties in people with cancer. Do regular, healthy physical exercise to a level you find comfortable. Engage in regular relaxation and spiritual practice. Have a regular massage. Consider lymphatic massage. Spend time with nature, woods, flowers, sea, and hills, anywhere where you can feel at peace and appreciate our world with awe. Chapter 5. Treatments targeting cancer cells. Conventional traditional therapies. Surgery. Surgery is used in several ways to help people with cancer. It is the oldest form of cancer treatment, and it provides the best chance to stop many types of cancer. Having surgery for cancer is different for everyone and depends on the type of surgery, the type of cancer, and the patient's overall health. Surgery may be curative, especially if the cancer is localized. Surgery can be performed to diagnose the cancer or evaluate its spread. Sometimes it's used to reduce symptoms, especially when the cancer is blocking one of the tubes in the body or pushing on vital organs. Occasionally, debulking surgery is suggested. This removes much but not all of the cancer mass, and is done when removing the whole cancer is impossible or too dangerous. By reducing the size of the cancer and the number of cancer cells in the body, other treatments may then become more successful. Surgery is often used in conjunction with radiotherapy or chemotherapy. In some cases, surgery offers the best chance of a complete cure, but if the surgery being considered as radical, then do ask for a second opinion and ask if the more extreme surgery is any more likely to be successful than a more localized procedure. This applies especially to breast cancer. Radiotherapy. This therapy uses radiation to kill cancer cells and to shrink tumors. The radiation damages the genetic material in the cells and stops them from multiplying. It also affects normal cells as they multiply. However, cancer cells appear to be more sensitive to irradiation and normal cells have a greater ability to recover. Often radiation is directed at the cancer cells from a number of angles. This focuses the total dose onto the cancer cells so that the surrounding tissues are less affected. Thus, the cancer cells can be destroyed, but surrounding normal cells survive. In some cases, radiation is planned to be curative and destroy the total cancer load. At other times, it is used to shrink the tumor and reduce the symptoms it is causing. Different cancers vary in their radiosensitivity, and it is important that you discuss with your specialist the likelihood of benefit before considering having radiotherapy. Irradiation can be used to treat almost any form of solid tumor, brain, breast, cervix, larynx, lung, pancreas, prostate, skin, spine, stomach, uterus, and soft tissue sarcomas. It can also be very effective in treating some forms of cancer in the blood and lymphatic system. Almost half of all cancer patients receive some type of radiation therapy. Chemotherapy. Chemotherapy drugs interfere with the ability of cancer cells to divide and reproduce themselves. Because the drugs are carried in the blood, they can reach cancer cells all over the body, except occasionally in the brain. Chemotherapy drugs are taken up by cancer cells as well as by all rapidly dividing cells, which include some normal cells, such as those in the lining of the mouth, the bone marrow, the hair follicles, and the digestive system. This can cause some of the side effects of chemotherapy, such as a sore mouth and throat, reduced blood cell production leading to anemia, and the ability to fight infections effectively, hair loss, nausea, and diarrhea. However, remember that healthy cells can repair the damage caused by chemotherapy, but often cancer cells cannot, and so they eventually die. Frequently, combinations of drugs with differing actions are used. This increases the effectiveness of the chemotherapy, but because lower doses of each drug can now be used, side effects are lessened somewhat. With new research, chemotherapy is becoming more cancer-specific. Some drugs work by preventing the cancer cells creating their own blood vessels. Chemotherapy is usually given by intravenous infusion, but sometimes intramuscular injections or oral tablets can be used. Because of the effects of chemotherapy on normal cells, patients having chemotherapy need to be supervised and have regular blood tests. They also need to be on the lookout for infections and avoid them. Chemotherapy has the reputation of making people feel miserable. Certainly, this is so with some of the more powerful drugs, and again, you need to talk frankly with your oncologist to see if the discomfort is really going to be worth it. One of the major side effects of chemotherapy, and often radiotherapy as well, is nausea and vomiting. The newer anti-nausea drugs are very effective. These drugs are quite expensive, but they can make life much more bearable. If nausea is a real problem, ask your oncologist for them. There is also a condition now being recognized with the very descriptive name of chemobrain. This condition is a combination of forgetfulness, inability to concentrate, and depressive feelings. It is caused by the chemotherapy and will usually cease when the treatment stops. It is reassuring for many patients to know that these feelings are due to the drugs and are not part of their illness. With chemotherapy, some cancers are curable and other cancers can be arrested before they progress. Cryotherapy. This technique uses extreme cold to destroy cancer tissues. Very cold probes using liquid nitrogen or argon are placed on or within the cancer cells, destroying all the cells in the area. Cryotherapy can be used for accessible cancers, such as those on the skin or the cervix. It has also been used in cancers of the eye, prostate, and liver. The efficacy of its use in conjunction with other therapies for breast, colon, and kidney cancers is still being determined. It is sometimes used for primary localized liver tumors, and it has also been used to treat secondary tumor deposits, which have spread to the liver from other organs. How effective is cryotherapy? This depends very much on the type of tumor, its localization, and also how accurately the surgeon can localize the tumor. Usually, imaging such as CT or MRI scans or ultrasound is used to guide the probe, but these can only detect the larger cancer particles, not the microscopic ones. Thus, complete eradication may not occur. Another disadvantage is that nearby normal tissues can also be frozen and damaged. Cryotherapy can be very expensive and in most cases is not covered by medical insurance. It is important to discuss the possible benefits and disadvantage of this form of therapy and the true likelihood of success before embarking upon it. In most cases, it is good to seek a second opinion. Brachytherapy. This uses catheters, needles, capsules, or seeds containing radioactive materials. These are implanted into the cancer mass or the organ containing the cancer. It can be used very successfully in cancers in the head and neck, prostate, cervix, ovary, breast, and cancer involving the pelvic regions. By giving a much higher dose of irradiation directly into the cancer cells, the results are excellent and the other tissues are affected much less. In prostate cancer, long-term data show that 87% of men are free from cancer 10 years after brachytherapy. Hormonal therapy. For some cancers, usually those affecting the reproductive organs, drugs which block estrogen and testosterone production can retard the progression of the cancer. For men with prostate cancer, the removal of the testicles is a major decision to take, but it can have a huge difference in the disease process and may mean not having to use drugs which have significant side effects. For women with breast cancer, it is important for the cancer cells to be tested for their dependence on either estrogen or progesterone before any hormonal therapy is considered. Two of the most commonly used hormonal drugs are tamoxifen and the newer aromatase group, which block the action of estrogen, and Herceptin, which reduces its production. In the correct situation, these can be life-saving, but they do have side effects. High-dose vitamin C. Although only a few units provide intravenous vitamin C therapy for cancer, we include it here because it can be a very powerful chemotherapy agent, and we believe quite strongly that it will soon become a regular part of cancer treatment at all levels of the disease and especially in the hospice situation. When given intravenously in very high doses, vitamin C acts like chemotherapy and can actually kill the cancer cells. But the plasma levels of vitamin C must be very high. High-dose vitamin C has been shown to, in some cases, shrink the cancer and the metastases, reduce the level of the cancer markers, improve the quality of life and reduce pain, and help the body's immune system to rid the body of the cancer. It is important to be aware that not all doctors agree with this therapy, as most have never seen vitamin C being used in this way. However, the tide is turning and some studies in prestigious journals have confirmed that high-dose vitamin C does kill cancer cells. In some situations, this treatment has transformed people's lives. With vitamin C, it is never too late to start, and no cancer is too advanced not to benefit. Intravenous vitamin C is extremely safe and can be even given in your family doctor's rooms, but again, should not be used during chemotherapy or radiotherapy. There are a myriad of additional treatments available to a person with cancer. Chapter 6. Our recommendations for the treatment of all cancers. The question often directed to a doctor at a consultation is, "Doc, what would you do if you or one of your relatives had this condition?" With the largest selection of possibilities available to a person with cancer, this is not an unreasonable request. To undertake all the potentially useful therapies would involve major expense and also occupy most of the patient's waking hours. Every person and their cancer is unique, and a cookbook answer is not possible, and this is why we stress that this book is for information only, and not to be used as a manual for therapy. Your chosen health professional is the person whose opinion you should seek. However, there are some principles and approaches which we would certainly recommend. We stress that these are only our suggestions, and we strongly recommend that you discuss these approaches with your doctor. The steps we believe all cancer patients should take. Remove toxins and poisons which may interfere with the optimal functioning of the immune system, which is our most powerful weapon in the battle against cancer. Eat clean organic food and juices and drink plenty of pure water. If there is dental decay, infected root canals, get this cleaned up. Massage, heat therapy, and far infrared saunas will help. And bowel cleansing with enemas and colonics. Make it difficult for the cancer to survive in the body. Cancer cells like an acid medium, so make your body more alkaline. Starve the cancer cells of glucose by eating only low glycemic foods, good omega-3 fats, and quality protein. Oxygenate the body as well as possible because cancer cells do not like oxygen. Go for regular walks in unpolluted areas, in the fresh air by the sea or lake, in woods and forests. Learn deep abdominal breathing and perhaps consider occasional exercise sessions, breathing oxygen through a mask. Strengthen the immune system. A positive mental attitude, meditation, imagery, and creating a sense of peace as well as a strong determination to beat this disease which has invaded your life. Reduce stress in your life. Good, complete nutrition to strengthen the body, the immune system, and starve the cancer cells. Eat raw fruit, cruciferous vegetables, juices, and limit the amount of red meat. Nutrient-rich shakes can help by providing nutrients, energy, fiber, and protein in an easily absorbed form for patients who often cannot eat large meals or who have no appetite. Nutritional supplements to complement good nutrition. Note that it's important to use good quality supplements, preferably made to pharmaceutical standards, to ensure that you are getting what you think you are and to avoid potentially dangerous impurities. We recommend a good multivitamin and multimineral. Selenium. Plenty of vitamin C, 4 to 6 grams daily. Melatonin up to 40 milligrams at night. Omega-3 fish oils, mercury-free, 1 gram daily. Only if the blood calcium level is normal, vitamin D. Other supplements and herbs which could be added include coenzyme Q10, green tea, turmeric, lycopene, garlic, indole 3-carbinol, spirulina, wheatgrass, and pawpaw. Two further additional approaches can help patients with cancer, and we definitely consider these for our patients. Vitamin C given as an intravenous drip. It is especially valuable when conventional treatments have finished. It is advisable not to have IV vitamin C at the same time as radiotherapy or chemotherapy. Acupuncture. We have seen so many patients with a wide variety of conditions improve unbelievably with acupuncture that it would be inappropriate to deprive someone of possible benefit from this ancient form of therapy, provided it is given by a skilled practitioner. These are our thoughts. From our research, we believe there is sufficient data that these treatments can only be of benefit and have little or no possibility of being harmful. Although the list may seem long, these suggestions are very easy to include in a healthy cancer recovery lifestyle. This should be the complementary treatment approach that all people with cancer should take. Thereafter, it is really a matter of careful consideration exploring what therapies should be added. We believe it's essential to retain confidence in a close working relationship with your oncologist. Be frank and ask for an open discussion about the potential benefits and problems associated with any treatment being suggested. Do take someone you trust with you and your beautiful notebook so you can remember salient points. Conventional therapies such as chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and surgery still remain by far the most likely treatments to cure the cancer or give long-term remissions. Most of these other therapies enhance this benefit and, importantly, improve the quality of life. With a combination of all of the above treatments, people with cancer and their relatives can feel confident that they have given their best shot to both defeat the cancer and have an optimal quality of life. While it may well be difficult to cure cancer, slowing the disease process down, strengthening the body, and improving a sense of well-being may have benefits far beyond our current hopes. With all the research being done around the world to defeat cancer, and now HIV/AIDS, an enormous amount of new information is being discovered. The switch that makes the cancer cells start multiplying out of control is waiting to be discovered. The switch has been found in one form of leukemia, and it is likely that the switch for other cancers exists and will be found. When this happens, cancer will no longer be a feared disease. So in the immortal words of an aging Winston Churchill, giving possibly the shortest but most memorable speech of all time, never, never, never give up. And probably equally important, many of these therapies will also greatly improve the quality of life. Chapter 7, Treatments for Specific Forms of Cancer. In this chapter, we give some additional advice on specific forms of cancer. It would not be appropriate for us to simply read the therapy for every form of cancer. We would encourage you to read that section, which interests you, in Chapter 7 of the written booklet, which comes in the other CD in this set. Specific cancers discussed include breast, uterine, prostate, bowel, stomach, lung and liver cancers, melanoma, lymphoma, and skin cancers. Chapter 8, Concluding Comments. This book has become much larger than we had initially intended. The more we looked at the problems faced by a person newly diagnosed with cancer, the more we realized that it was our duty to sift through the plethora of information and to provide a little guidance. We hope that we've been able to provide uplifting ideas and positivity in an area so often considered to be scary and final, because it does not need to be so. The many therapies, claims, and counterclaims must be bewildering for a person who is in a state of shock and turmoil, and less able than usual to make rational decisions. Which therapy may be a straw worth clutching? We hope that you accept our suggestions that conventional therapy should be the foundation for all treatment regimes. If the treatment is likely to be radical or debilitating, then check that it will provide the desired results. Many of the other complementary treatments are also very powerful, and in the right situations can greatly increase the possibility of cure, in addition to improving the quality and length of life. We all have a finite time on this planet. For some this may be less than others, but we should strive to make that time as pleasant and fulfilling as possible. What is to be gained by increasing one's lifespan from 6 to 9 months with powerful treatments if most of that time involves suffering and discomfort? Discuss this with your doctors before undergoing the more unpleasant forms of therapy. Confidence in your clinical advisors and a positive attitude to your health and future are possibly the most powerful medicine. We hope that increased understanding of the available treatments may help. Nourish and strengthen your body with good food, preferably organic, and quality nutritional supplements. Starvation of our cells is one of the most debilitating features of cancer, weakening the immune system and sapping your energy. It is important to face the spiritual side of life. Develop a sense of peace and confidence, which is again very powerful medicine. Remove all the hatred, anger, and negative feelings of the past. Forgive those who have hurt you in the past, because the remaining resentment only hurts you. Fill your heart with peaceful, loving, and positive emotions. Talk openly with others about your feelings and concerns, but don't make cancer the only focus of conversation. Continue to build relationships with people as normally as possible. This applies particularly to visiting people who have cancer. Treat them as you would any friend, respecting their need to talk or be reassured, to discuss the future or the past. Remember to laugh and to have fun, but also sometimes to cry. One of the unexpected bonuses of cancer is that it frequently allows people time to look at the precious things of life, and many people have stated that all their senses are sharpened, colors look richer, and smells more intense. Let's take the time to listen to bird song, to smell the roses, laugh at the antics of children and animals, and wonder at the marvels of nature. Remember that the statistics for cancer cure and survival continue to improve. It's only a matter of time before we find the cause for this chaotic multiplication of cells that is cancer. When we fully understand the cause, then a genuine cure will be just around the corner. We are quite sure that time is not far away.